is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hey, Hardies! Hey. It's Bran, and I am loving When Calls to Heart right now.
Hey, it's Panda. I am liking When Calls to Heart, not liking when I make stupid bets.
I'm Dan, and I despise When Calls to Heart, but I'm going to love this episode, I can tell you right now.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Everybody, boy. So good to be here on this beautiful, some might say balmy Thursday.
Balmy?
I don't
balmy.
Know. I don't know where you
it
are.
Balmy, yeah. I cut my grass this morning. It was sweating like a hog out there.
Crickets came out quick. Thank you guys so much.
Doesn't win bit of the year, robbed. It's better than the Millie Bobby Brown. Crickets. That crickets
oh, that's
bit
fair.
Is
cold.
Oh, no.
It's a lot more. Go.
Is today her birthday, Millie?
No. 19th, tomorrow.
Oh, wow. So exciting.
You said it, friend.
What is happening?
Welcome to the Millie Bobby Brown fan podcast. Name three things other than Stranger Things that Millie Bobby Brown's been in.
Enola Holmes.
Okay.
Godzilla movie.
Next one.
You got to get the right one.
Godzilla.
It's just isn't just Godzilla?
Isn't it?
I think
or no, King of Monsters.
King of Monsters.
King of Monsters. It's the second one she was in. Yeah. That's all I got.
There's going to be one more.
Do you know a third one?
I know she's going to be in the next King Kong. But yeah.
No, that doesn't count.
I couldn't list you a third.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby Brown.
No, I can't think.
The Stranger Things after show.
Yeah.
On Netflix. Okay. We're talking about When Calls the Heart. You might be wondering to yourself, if you're watching this on Friendly TV, what is going on with the Cutters here? Boys, can you explain this situation here?
In this episode, Abigail is giving her home up to start the cafe, and she's going to live above the cafe. And I said out loud, does anybody want to take me up on the bet that the cafe will be open by next episode? Panda said,
by the end of next episode.
By the end of next episode. And Panda said, yes. And I said, he said, you want to wager these cheese balls here? I don't like cheese balls. I said, how about
those are months old.
Whoever loses has to shave their beard. And to which he said, absolutely. Cut to 10 minutes later when the cafe is already open. So now I get to shave Panda's beard.
After he made the bet, he said, I feel like this is a four-parter coming up. It was going to take four episodes.
I thought we were going to ride this one through to the end of the season where she's just doing a little bit of repair. She's testing the recipes. That building was in disrepair.
What?
I had it all working in my favor. The only thing I thought that could hold me back was if Coal Valley would have gotten together to help her out like she was behind. And I sat there and I thought, no, they're too much dire straits. Everyone's divided right now. They're not going to have the time. This is a four episode for
what
four.
What you didn't think of in your mind is the fact that Coal Valley doesn't give a flying flip about leaks as long as there's snacks.
As long as there's snacks, but also every single thing that's happened in this show, save for Jack and Elizabeth, has been done in two episodes. Everything. The whale oil, all of it. Pockets, all of it. It's all been two episodes.
Rip.
by
so,
pockets.
You know, it was a pretty educated guess on my part.
Yeah, I don't. Guys, I don't know. I felt really confident going in.
Well, now you got a trash bag to catch all your hairs as I shave your beard off.
I'm going to read a synopsis here for this episode. I'm going to turn the camera on, not on me, there it is, but on my good friends. If you can get a mic as close to your face as possible so we can hear that nice, nice sound.
Hear the thing while you're doing the synopsis.
I'm multi-talented here.
Go for it.
When Calls the Heart, Season 1, Episode 7, Second Chances, originally aired on February 22nd, 2014, and it went like this. Billy Hamilton's gone. He's out of the picture. And Elizabeth is still feeling a little bad about how, you know, she wasn't very nice to Jack. But that is until Jack is kind of rubbing it in her face and is like, oh, I saved you. And she's like, get out of here, Jack. I don't need it. He's a clumsy fella. Elizabeth vents her frustrations to Abigail. And Abigail's just like, just, you know, be nice. Here's a pastry. So that leads us to this storyline. Abigail, she's an empty nester now, sad, and she's been enjoying making food, baking, and whatnot. And she notices there is this building that is vacant, an old cafe. And so she is going to open back up the cafe. That is her goal. So she goes and she tries to open up the cafe, presents the idea to Mr. Gowan, who owns the town essentially, and he's like, no. And she's like, let me. And he's like, no. And she's like, I'll give you 25%. And he said, give me 75%. And they ended up agreeing on a 50-50 split. She has to do all the repair work, and she has to give up her home. The home that she raised her child in. The home that she fell in love and shared her marriage with. And she agrees. It seemed like a very difficult choice, but what can you do? Now, the other big storyline of this episode is the fact that Elizabeth is trying to teach one of her students, Bo, how to read. Bo, he's a 15, 16, somewhere in that ballpark, and he can't read, and everybody's like, he's too dumb to read. He can't do it. So Elizabeth decides, I think there's something more here, so I'm going to give Bo this intelligence test. And that'll help us know if he's actually smart enough, if he has it in him to be able to read, to learn how to read. And, I don't know. He's apparently just a genius, but he's just a little dyslexic. And so Elizabeth is confident that I'm able to teach Bo. Now Jack is still hanging out here. He's really packing it on thick. He's starting to feel bad about how he was clumsy with his words. And so he kind of asks her out. It's a big goings, very exciting. They rekindle kind of this, you know, they're making eyes again. They agree, let's be nice to each other. Wonderful. Now, Bo does amazing on the test. And it also shows that Bo suffers from dyslexia. And so Elizabeth shows up to teach him how to read, thinks I can go slow enough, I can spend the time, because he has it in him. He just needs somebody to believe in him. And Bo's dad comes home from a hard day. Work. Did you just get cut?
Ow! Sorry.
You just got cut? Are you bleeding?
Yeah, he is bleeding just in here.
Guys, we can't bleed on Friendly TV. Goes over to try to teach Bo how to read. Bo's dad walks in and is like, stop it. He can't learn how to read. He doesn't know how. Stop it. Get out of here. Stop trying. He's going to come work in the mines. That's all he has in him. Abigail gets into the cafe and leaks all over the place. It's in disrepair, as my friend Panda would say.
I thought it was going to be fixed.
And he said, there's no way that this is going to be fixed. But she puts some buckets under the holes in the roof and she gets to cooking. And one day, a little kiddo walks in to the sweet, sweet smell of treats and says, hey, can I have one of those? And that makes everybody know the cafe is open
so
for
stupid.
Business. There's blood everywhere. So, she's very excited about that. Elizabeth, not giving up on Bo, makes these letters. And on the letter is something that that letter starts a word with. So the B would be like the letter B, but there's a bear on it or something like that. And that makes it click for him. He's able to spell using those clues. And his dad is like, oh my goodness, my son's not dumb. Like he can do this. This is amazing. And it really shows him that there's more to his life if you give him the opportunity. Abigail's cookies are selling like hotcakes. Everybody's pumped. And the town is getting ready to welcome some new miners into the town to live in Abigail's old house. And that, my friends, was When Calls the Heart.
Panda, get shaved.
How are we doing, pals?
I mean, it's going to be close enough, I feel like.
Let me see you.
I've cut him up pretty good on his lip.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to go as quick as possible here, man.
Man, you are just, you look good.
Thanks, buddy. I can't see anything without my glasses.
But you look good. Thanks. Did all the hair go on the back?
No.
How did it do?
It's everywhere.
Oh, good.
But
good.
We tried.
I'm going to go get him a napkin for his...
Well, let's take a quick break, and we will come back, and we will break this episode down even further here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back. Hello. Look at you, fresh as a daisy.
How's it feel? Feel like you lost some weight?
Yeah, I do. I feel a little bald.
I feel like you've been this.
No, we did the Breaking Bad thing, and he had a goatee.
Yeah, I've never. This is the closest you've ever been to clean shaving.
When I get home, I'll do the full.
Probably you'll post
full,
it.
Yeah, I'll post. But yeah, no, this is. I haven't done this bit in a long time.
This is to celebrate MBB's birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Millie. From my heart to yours.
We love you, Millie.
Millie.
No one's going to believe we've literally never mentioned her on the podcast before this week.
Boy, my chin is just...
It's really out there, Jerry. It's loving every minute.
Oh, Millie's going to love it. It's time to break this episode down, everybody. We are talking about When Calls the Heart, episode 7 of season 1, Second Chances. And it's time for the first segment, which is the hot take, where we share exactly how we felt about this episode. We don't hold back. Panda, obviously this episode had a lot at stake for you. Yeah. How'd you end up feeling about it, seeing as how you lost and now you are clean shaven? Yeah,
this has nothing to do with the fact that I lost, because as you know, I told you this before this episode even came out. I was really excited because I always enjoy watching some When Calls the Heart with the boys. That said, this episode is not great. I can see where they are moving. This might be the worst episode of When Calls the Heart that I've seen so far. It is
ding ding ding.
This is the most boring. It's the slowest one. This is worse than the one two episodes ago, which I thought was quite bad with Andrew Walker, his first appearance. I thought that was not a good episode. This one somehow is even more boring with less stakes.
The problem is because they do these two boys, the first of the two is always boring.
But the second one isn't going to be, what's compelling about the second episode? Like at least with the one.
Yeah, I don't know what are they built like?
So
Bo can read now. Abigail
Gowan opened. Is going to realize that the cafe is going to be making money.
And then
he's going to try to take more than 50%.
And then they'll resolve it.
Yeah, he gets 50% though, regardless.
Yeah. It's a nonprofit. Everything in front.
I don't know, guys. I'm not a huge fan. Yeah. I did not like this episode.
I hate to say I agree with you there, Panda. I do, though. This is just not, not a lot happening here. Here's the thing. If we cared about Bo before this episode, maybe that storyline would have mattered. But we don't know Bo. Don't care about Bo.
Bo don't know.
I don't know Bo. I care about Abigail. I'm interested to see what happens with her storyline. Sure. And so I'm excited, she's going to have this outlet now, instead of, law breaking or whatever, she's going to be able to, have a nice life for herself, which is very exciting. And then we get, Elizabeth and Jack kind of, coming back together. They're kind of like, I think they're on the track to dating.
On the cusp. Yeah.
So that's exciting. But yes, not a ton happened in this episode, and that is a shame.
It is a shame. It's also a shame that we are watching this particular program, because this episode is utter garbage. I'm sorry. When there were 23 episodes a season of like Law and Order and CSI, like you were expecting a few, even in Lost, like Hurley's got the VW van in the woods, they're drinking Dharma beer. Like it happens. It happens to the best of programs. But when a bad program does it that only has 12 episodes a year, good gosh, does it stick out. Like this is like, it is just nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. It means nothing. The stakes couldn't possibly be lower. And the only stakes that exist, the wrong decision is made. Abigail basically is just like, yeah, I'll give you my house that I get to keep forever for free, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, the way it was. But like, I don't get it. I don't get how people could watch this and go, how about another? I don't know how it would happen. It's really bad. It's bad TV. Just is.
I don't think it's bad TV. It's a bad episode.
It's bad. It's a bad episode. No, it's bad, a bad episode. You're a bad human.
Any episode where you only get Jack and Elizabeth making eyes as your only thing to hang on to is not a good episode.
I agree. It's not a good episode. Yeah. Doesn't make it not a good show. I agree. I've enjoyed the journey thus far, and I think Panda's with me there.
Yeah. There's been some dips.
There's been some dips.
There's been some hopes and valleys.
It's figuring itself out. I'm hopeful for season two. They're really going to figure out.
We're only
out
halfway
this.
Through season one. What's 7 out of 12?
I know.
But they, I from what I've heard, they I amp it up.
They amp it up. Hand me that bag of sours.
Mm-hmm. It's time for All the Feels. It's part of the show. We talk about what in this episode gave us those hearty feels. Panda?
Not a lot, Bran. I didn't mind the scene where the dad starts reading too, because the dad can't read, we find out, right? Read. Dad can't read. And which I think we kind of suspect that. But
what?
Then,
no.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. And so, you know, I thought that was a good scene. I do think he learns to read really fast. And if the only thing that was holding him back was Lil Clay...
Aiken?
No, Clay... Clay alphabet things.
If I was invisible...
Can you name me a second Clay Aiken song?
He did a cover of Bridge Over Troubled Waters during American Idol.
Can you name me a third Clay if Aiken song?
Better singer or better politician, Clay Aiken?
Singer. Oh, I don't know what his politics are.
Was he in politics?
Yeah, he ran for like mayor or something of a town.
Did he win?
I don't know the logistics.
Of if he won or lost. Just a yes or no question.
Logistics.
I'm pretty sure that song says, if I was invisible, I could just watch you in your room. Doesn't it say that?
Yeah. It does say that.
What are you doing, Clay? Clay, what are you doing?
And like in the music video, he's like, why? If my recollection's correct, he is watching through a closet, which is like unfortunate for like his story.
A number of reasons.
But that's happening in that music video. Does that ring any bells?
I can't say I've watched
it. Blocked
Clay.
It out. If I were invisible.
Not great. Not great.
Man, Clay.
Who told him that was a good single?
I don't know the logistics.
Did he win or lose? Don't know the logistics. can't get into specifics here. On where or off.
Clay Aiken. My goodness.
The way they do things in that town, man, I just can't get into it.
It was a double runoff. Pot boiler.
If I was invisible.
This is for you, Millie.
To that point, the feels I got, Bo-related feels, was when he left the cat can run or whatever outside of Elizabeth's house with
cat
the letters.
Ran fast, I believe.
Cat ran fast. That's exactly right. I was like, oh, that's because he's like showing that he can do it, and it's very exciting for her. So that gave me feels. Dan, no feels. All right, let's go to a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Dice Hall.
I can't get into the logistics.
Has no one looked up if Clay Aiken won or not? What are we doing here, guys?
Do I Google Mayor Clay Aiken?
Clay Aiken win the election.
The election. You lost to Ruben again.
2014 Democratic candidate who sought election to the U.S. House of Representative. He won the Democratic nomination, but he was defeated by incumbent Renee Elmers in the general election.
Did they get into the logistics?
Underneath that, it says we cannot get into the logistics.
Okay, get a load of this. More shocking, he has a best of album. There's enough where he has a best of playlist, the very best of Clay Aiken, 09. Ironically, Bridge Over Troubled Waters is track four. Invisible track 12.
A cover album is on his. A cover song is on his best of.
Actually, there's several covers.
Yeah.
Mary,
yeah.
Did You Know is also on there.
Stop it.
Oh, it's time for the Wait What. It's a fire show. We're talking about one of this episode. Made us go way. Mary, Did You Know?
Clay, all these songs are public domain.
Yep.
If I was invisible. Remember that one, though? Remember that one? Anybody?
I always wish I could watch people sleep.
Wonder why you didn't win, Clay. You're over there watching people sleep. Oh, I don't like that.
Maybe, do you think whoever was running against him just played that song? My response, Mr. Aiken. What do you got?
Oh boy.
Man.
Panda? Wait, what?
At the very beginning of this episode, the kids are all reading poetry. Some are sitting at a table and just reading quietly. There's a couple kids who are just standing and reading their poetry to their table, and I don't understand what's happening or what the and they're reading out loud. And so is this a read silently or a read out loud? Is it a sit and read or is it a stand and read situation?
They're, every table, somebody's reading out loud.
But not every kid standing.
No, well, the kid that's supposed to, what are you doing right now? We have a podcast
to do. I was trying to pull up the comments to our show that we stream live.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every table has one, they have to take turns reading aloud at their table.
But there were two kids who were standing at their tables.
There was one kid at one table.
There's multiple tables. Okay. Go back and read.
Yeah, there's multiple tables, and each table has one kid standing at it, reading to that table.
But not every table had that.
Yeah.
There's a couple of tables where the kids are all just sitting there reading.
Maybe they're waiting for the next person to stand up, but she made it clear. She's like, at your table, I made it clear you never have to stand and read. So like the assumption is that at every table, someone is standing and reading and they're taking turns like popcorn reading.
I'm here for it, but why isn't it not every table is following your rules, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
There's a whole group of kids who are not.
She's a bad teacher.
Well, and I think, get out of the classroom. If you can't handle classroom management, then get out. I don't want to deal with it. Not today.
Mm. Not tomorrow either. The king,
yeah, that's
the
it.
Sultan of classroom management.
Oh,
was
it was me.
Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man. Let's stand on the desk and sing a song. What's the big deal? Who can get hurt? I got
that
a couple.
Was literally a kid that
they
fell.
Got hurt. Yeah,
that was fine. Literally a kid fine. Send him to the nurse.
Nonprofit.
Nonprofit. A couple of things. One, there is a big hubbubaloo about this room situation. So there's there's two rooms above the cafe, right?
Yes.
In my mind, two rooms better than one house, right?
But two, I mean, I would assume two bedrooms, right? Like it's a smaller living space than the house.
But they send in all of these fellas who live in rooms above
the saloon.
And so in my mind, it would be better to keep those two rooms above the cafe than to gain a house.
Oh, you're talking about gas? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I agree with
you. Yes,
that.
It's a better deal.
It doesn't seem like a good
50% of the profits.
50% of the profits. But I don't know why he needs the house.
So that he says why? He says, I need more minors to live in those homes.
Uh-huh.
But what he's saying is there's two rooms. You could put two minors in those two
but
rooms.
But now he's collecting 50% profit.
All right, we're going in circles here.
Panda, you can have both. All she wanted was to give up a percentage.
The cafe.
So she wanted to give up a percentage of the cafe. That was going to be the deal. And he was the one who said, I want your house.
Instead of
you can have the two rooms above the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And so my point is, it's not a good, he didn't need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just not going to say.
No, I don't think that's the right play on your part there.
I want to know if Gowan over there made the holes that the rain was going through. And the reason I want to know that is because for what it seems to be years, this cafe has been vacant and it seems to be in good shape. And then suddenly she gets it from Gowan, moves on in, it rains and it starts to leak. That seems like some sneaky timing, doings. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
That seems like sneaky timing.
But why would he once again, this is money he would make.
But I think maybe he's trying to make
a
point.
He's just undermining his own profits.
Yeah, well, but his point is that no one's going to go
there.
It's
not going to work.
It's not going to work, so who cares?
Yeah.
And last but not least, how many letters did she make for this boy? Because he gives up the cat, all those letters in front of her house.
Mm-hmm.
We go into his room, and his room is just like letters everywhere. Yeah. How many letters did she give him?
So many.
And so many letters.
They look handmade, all of them.
They look handmade.
Yeah, it couldn't have been done.
It could have been just a little press, though.
We can't get into the logistics of how she made them, but no, I have to believe it took time, and she made a lot of them. And so I just want to know how many. Dan?
Yeah, I'm very confused why Elizabeth and Jack insist on giving each other handwritten tests. I'm very still. If anyone could enlighten me on why she's like, hey, I need your help. I thought she was going to help.
She said, I need to make sure it works.
Okay. But here's the problem with that, Bram, is she is reading the questions aloud to Barry, to Bo. The whole thing is not handwritten. She reads the questions aloud. But when Jack gets there, she hands him a test to just take. How does that help her?
To make sure it works.
Yeah, you don't want a bad test.
You don't want a bad test.
She's not using the same test.
No, it's the same. She's just reading it.
But she just scores. She's already read the test. She's having him take it, and then she scores it. How is that going to help determine if it's a good test or not?
To see, because she knows if he's smarter.
Okay, all right. None of your answers have solved it. However, let me just say that they do. Why does he give her a test at the end?
It's a love test.
It's a love test. It's a big compatible. It's a big happy do. Like, oh, I'm gonna give it to you.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
I will say in their defense, if you live in Coal Valley, there's nothing to do.
There's nothing more exciting than a test.
Like taking an IQ test is probably a hoot.
Instead of going on a date, she says, meet me here. I need your help with something. And then she just says, here, take this test.
Yeah, granted, that's not great.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
This isn't a good episode.
It's a bad episode of a bad show.
But this was pre the cafe opening. Now that the cafe's open.
Different story. No, more than just a bowl of chili and a beer.
No more. Tell you that
right. Well, they have, I mean, it's a great spot. They have the newest Apple Music on there. It's great.
And they opened just in record time.
Apple Music, yeah. CDs, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Chocolate covered candies. I'm thinking Starbucks. I'm sorry.
Do you remember
when Starbucks used to sell CDs?
What is going on?
Yes,
right
but
now?
What is Apple Music?
Apple Music,
like the app?
Yeah, that too.
What do you mean they have?
What is going on?
Is it music about apples, or do they have?
I think he was trying to just do a bit, and then he's just refusing to acknowledge it was a bad bit.
Because I'm confused. Because you said the newest Apple Music.
Yeah, the newest Apple Music,
which makes it sound like there's a new album coming out about apples.
Would you buy it?
Yeah.
Well, this is the time I want to announce my new band.
You look extra white without that beard.
I know.
You look like Powder's brother.
Powder's brother.
Do you have any more, Dave?
I do. You got like a thumb with glasses.
If I was a piece of bone. That song's just streaming.
It's great.
I'm sorry. You look great. Don't. I'm sorry.
Don't listen to him. Yep.
Thumb with glasses on Dan.
Do you have any more wait what's, Dan?
Yeah, I have to do. Gowan is like, hey, a cafe will never work in this town. And if it would, I would have started it already. Bro, you could make 50% of the profits for doing nothing. Why won't you just let her succeed and reel in your 50% for zero work? Why in the world would you sit there and go, it's not going to work. I'm going to make sure of it. If it was going to work, I would have done it myself. It seems like, and maybe it's just me, but I would rather have 50% of the profits for doing nothing than 100% of the profits when I have to put all my own money into it. I just don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Why in the world she would do that. And also, why would Abigail sign away the house she gets to keep forever? That was the agreement,
yes,
correct?
That is the agreement.
The agreement is the miners, she leads all those women into the mine. They fix this one thing. They get to keep their houses for life. And they sign it. She has a free house for life. And she's like, rolling the dice. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense in the world.
Is he letting her have the two bedrooms above the place for life?
Not for life.
Because he makes a point, like, if the business fails, that's it.
You're out of here. You're out of here.
That's a bold move.
That is a lot of faith in her cooking. And I do want to point out also, like, she is selling the baked goods outside, which she could have just done at her house.
Yeah.
The building's not ready.
It's not ready.
In my defense, I probably could have used that as a caveat to not have to shave this early.
The building has to be ready.
Yeah.
Not the business. Because the business, baked goods, you can sell them anywhere.
You can sell them anywhere. I should have seen that.
You always think you got to think it through.
And cat's out of the bag.
Danny, anymore?
Thumb with glasses.
No, that's it.
We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Hey. It is time for hopes and valleys. It's when we share a hope and or a valley that we're feeling right now about when calls the heart.
My only hope is that Gowan turns nicer. Some of the things he said were very hurtful.
Very mean.
And very mean. Yeah, but I even said it. I said, that seems unnecessarily mean. And I don't like the mean. He's overly mean to me. And I want him to stop.
He's overly mean. You want him to stop.
Yeah.
What's the valley? What your hope?
My hope is that he's going to turn the corner.
And I have high hopes.
High hopes. You don't need a valley.
Maybe your valley is that he was mean and your hope is he's going to get nicer.
Well, no, my valley is I get the feeling we're not going to get much more Bo. And I'm scared we're not going to get more Bo.
You guys are always worried about all these kids.
Like pockets. Dude, pockets. But and that leaves me pocket watch. This is the second time in a row we haven't seen him.
Second time in a row, man. And I hate that for pocket.
Man, pocket watch is a better segment than what we came up with. I mean, it doesn't exactly work, but because at some point it's just going to be like, no, not again. Not again.
So I have a hope that I'm not willing to do a bet on it, but I think we're going to see a date in the next episode or two. And I'm very excited to finally see what these two lovebirds will actually be like in a romantic, like, this is a moment that's meant to be romantic. You know what I mean?
Where
like
do not, you think he's going to take her on the
I think he's going to take her to the cafe opening. Mm. And by opening, I mean the building. The company is very much thriving. It's
very much going.
Thriving. But the building itself, I think when it's going to be a big, like, will you go with me to the opening type thing. And I'm very excited about that. No valleys for me. All hills.
My hope was that this kid has the ability like to find a way around his learning disability to read. And my valley is he's probably still going to end up in the mine. Like, right? Like it's a mining town. He's 16. Like he's not going anywhere. That's a little depressing.
Well, but he's a genius.
He could do anything.
He's a genius. They made that point clear.
Yeah, they say he's a genius.
He is a genius, who happens to be dyslexic. Okay. So
you mean to tell me that every mining town, every genius gets out?
I hope so. Like if they
have you ever seen October Sky?
Is that right? Here's the thing, Dan. Here's the thing. I'm sure that they don't.
That was great. No. That's the best joke of the week. There's no way around it.
It's a great joke for no one outside of this room.
No one but the three of us, which is all I care about.
But here's the thing, Dan. I'm sure there are some.
Everybody, I want to be clear, but from a humor standpoint, that's the funniest thing to me.
There are some geniuses that don't get out, and that's because they didn't have anyone to believe in them, like Elizabeth believes in Bo. So I believe
the children are our future.
Yes, and that Elizabeth's belief in Bo will motivate him to go and make something of himself.
How dumb is that statement? I believe the children are our future. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. That's true. That is true.
Yeah, but let me tell you, it played well every youth Sunday
preached. Is there a politician watching, like the politician on stage going, I believe the children are our future, going, nuh-uh. Not on my watch. Not these children.
I think the 80s and ups are the ones that got right. our lockdown.
I believe the geriatrics are our future.
I scroll through TikTok and I think, do they have to be? Is it too late? Can we do a little switcheroo, make me a baby again? Because I think I'm crushing
it. I believe I'm our future.
I believe, why not? Yeah. Why not?
Well, we did, everybody. We leave everyone calls our episode with something we're calling What's Calling My Heart. It is a part of the show. We read an email from somebody, a listener, where they share with us what is calling their heart. What's bringing them some joy right now? Dan, what do we have today?
Got one coming in hot here. Brand, Panda, and Dan. First, love the show. You guys make me laugh, and everyone needs more of that. I know the subject of this email is supposed to be what's calling my heart,
okay.
But all I can think of when I listen to you talk about When Calls the Heart is bless their hearts. I love When Calls the Heart. I've watched every episode, and I first read the books as a teenager. Having said that,
how many books are there?
I don't know. I get some of the questions you have about the show, especially the plots, but I think you're missing the point. The show is about Jack and Elizabeth. Especially during the first season. I watched the show, and I assume other people do too, to see what's going on with Jack and Elizabeth. I thought you guys were about to get it when one of you, sorry, I don't remember who, talked about Jack Smolder and the looks between the two of them. That's what I come for. I can't believe you're missing the opportunity to rate Jack Smolder each episode and rating the silent looks Jack and Elizabeth give each other. Full disclosure, when I go back and rewatch, I pretty much only watch the parts with Jack and Elizabeth, although there are some exceptions in the later seasons. Good luck, guys, and I hope you and your family stay safe and stay healthy. P.S., some of the plot gets worse, so just buckle up. But I do think the show gets better when Lee and Rosemary, played by Kevin Smith and Pascal Hutton, arrive in town. I think the last two seasons, 6 and 7, are the best. So sorry you have to go through a lot to get there. P.P.S., I like the show, but I'm not a huge fan of the Christmas movies either. Signed, the Reverend Sarah Williams Shoup from Shreveport, Louisiana. Reverend, thank you for your email.
Reverend, I have some thoughts.
There's a lot in my email.
One, what do you do now? Like, you, these seasons, you're saying the current seasons are the best seasons, and there's no Jack there. So do you now watch the show for the actual content, the storyline? I'm interested in that. Like, are the storylines in 6 and 7, like, better? That seems to be the statement that is being made.
Yeah, it seems.
And do you, does she fast forward
every scene that's not them?
Because that's a bold move, and I appreciate the commitment.
Reverend, my thing is that I know the show's supposed to be about Jack and Elizabeth, which is why it's so weird that the show features so much that's not them. Like, it's fine if the defense of Wind Calls the Heart is it's about Jack and Elizabeth, easily the best part of the show. We all agree with that. I agree with that. The Jack and Elizabeth
Pocket Watch.
We'll get back to that. But I agree that Jack and Elizabeth, have good chemistry. The actors work well together. But the show doesn't bother to make that nearly as important as we want it to be. And we're 7 episodes in. I know they're going to get married and have a kid. Jack's going to die. I get all that. Rating the Smolder, great idea. I like that idea. That's a good idea. But if the show is just about those two, why are we introducing all of these other characters and having all of these plot lines that don't involve those two together?
It's fair.
You can't do that either. Yeah, you can't just have those two.
There are plenty of dramas that have a couple living together that the drama includes them and their family, right? And there's a B plot, sure. But like in a lot of these, the A plot is who burned down the church or how's the church going to get restarted or how are they going to work in the mine and the women are going to go. It's not Jack and Elizabeth every week.
I think they're trying to be true to history.
Do you have any music for sure?
Do you have any thing you want to say to Reverend?
I love you, Reverend. Thanks for listening.
Panda, you haven't.
There's a lot there. It depresses me to hear that it gets worse. Like I feel
that
like
wasn't
that's not real
that
encouraging, and to know that,
Rev.
Yeah, that's not. I feel like part of your job is to bring encouragement and hope to people, and I don't feel like that's. That was great.
I do want to be clear to Reverend and everyone listening. I referenced October Sky, the movie, while we were watching the episode. These two jokers gave me a hard time about it because they were like, I've never seen that movie. I've heard of it. I've never seen it. And I was the one that was being made fun of. And then Panda puts his thing down, flips it, and reverses it and gives the October Sky back at me. That's why it's funny. But that movie's great. I want to be clear. I do think it's a great movie. And they have never seen it. And you need to see it.
Thank you so much, Reverend. And you can email us, hello@deckthehallmark.com with the subject line, What's Calling My Heart. And we might just read your email on the air. And thank you. That was very helpful and depressing at the same time. So
both ends. Both ends.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. All right. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. We will be back tomorrow. One more episode this week where we'll be covering Silver Bells. Which also kind of reminds me just a skirsh of October Sky.
A little bit.
Yeah, no, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to bramblejampodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam podcast ad-free, go to bramblejamplus.com.